Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for your greatness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. While you're standing, Proverbs 20 and 11 and Matthew 7, 16. Solomon wrote, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure or whether it is right. Then Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Then he asked a question, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I want to teach tonight learning how to carry yourself. Learning how to carry yourself. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be taught out of your word, to learn of you. More knowledge brings more wisdom. More wisdom brings right choices. Thank you, Lord. More right choices makes it easier to live in this life and for you. Help us tonight to understand your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I had so many directions. You may be seated. I could go, and I had to choose one. So this sermon may not do anybody any good but one or two people, maybe somebody that just hears the CD. I don't know. But I'm going to be through with it after tonight. Sometimes things chew on me a while, and I'm just going to get through with it, and then y'all can have it. Because preaching is just delivering to you what God gave to me. That's all it is. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful that the heat is on. Praise the Lord. I heard by Sunday it'll be 80 degrees again. We're the only state that probably has on your remote, for air conditioning. One day, during the day, it changes, from heat to cold, all in one day. So I was privileged to be at the commemoration of the 100 years of the LeBlanc Pentecostal Church. And that first night, it was cool. Brother Green was preaching, and the smoke was coming out of his mouth as he was preaching. That's how cold it was. People were sitting there, Sister Cindy, where are you at? She had something wrapped around her mouth, trying to catch her own breath, warm up. Hallelujah. But it was good. I enjoyed it. And I said Sunday when I was able to minister, I said to them, we talk about so many times how these modern conveniences robbed us of our blessings. And and my comment was, you can still walk to church. There's nobody makes you walk to church and makes you drive, right? You don't have to have a cell phone and a recorder and all this kind of stuff. So you robbed yourself. Don't be saying these things did it. You did it. It's if those things was what made us live for God, were we really living for God anyway? Did that really make us live for God because there was sawdust floors and no heat? I struggled, I'll be honest with you, to stay a little warm and keep focused on what was being said. And it wasn't even raining. The next night, it was threatening to rain. Sunday, it poured. And you remember me having y'all pray, I get to preach inside the sanctuary? Thank the Lord, somebody had some faith. He answered my prayer. Hallelujah. And we had really good church, and I appreciate him doing that. Even a child is known by what he does. That brat, that little liar. Whether the work is pure, whether it be right. And you will know them by the fruit they bear. I want to talk about learning how to carry yourself. I think the hardest thing to carry is yourself. You carry yourself. We carry conversations. We carry this. We carry that. But you're known by how you carry yourself. And many times we say, well, I don't know how to act around her. I don't know how to act around him. Well, the answer is quit acting. That's the problem. Anytime you act, it gets old. It's phony. Now, how many of you like real people? Just be who you are. So let's get that solved. Why act? If you don't like me for who I am, I'm comfortable with that. I've been told that before. I kept on living. I kept on loving. But I don't choose to fellowship with you because I don't want to act. I hate acting. I'm not a good actor. And so a person is known by the way they carry themselves. And acting is tough. It's exhausting. And when they shut the door, yeah, good to see y'all. Y'all come back and see us. God, I hope they never come back again. Thought they'd never leave. But you acted real well when it was there. That's tough. I got to stay close to this so I don't go too far. A lot of times you're known by everything, what you carry, everything from a disease to the car you drive. Oh, you know, he's got AIDS. He's got this. Got leprosy. That's that leper, you know. Oh, that's that guy been married 10 times. You know, you're known by what you carry. David carried a slingshot. He was known for his slingshot and his staff. So he's only known by what you carry. We look at Gideon. We know he carried a pitcher and a lamp. That's what he carried. The lunatic son was carrying some kind of crazy ailment in his mind. But you're known by how you carry yourself. Oh, she's always depressed. He's always optimistic. He's crazy. You're known by how you carry yourself. And some things you don't think about, but you carry your pain. Joseph carried a lot of pain. But look at how the man carried himself. Look at the history of this man, of all he went through. Look at Jesus Christ and how he carried himself. Even he, you know, when he was down and out, he carried himself. Y'all not catching that, you see? When no one else would carry him, he carried himself. And while we talk about our mind, and we do serve the Lord with our mind, how great a mind is, and it is great, but I kind of tell you this, it can only do two things. I'm going to teach you tonight something. I hope you learned something. You can only do two things, and it can't do them at the same time. This is number one, memory. Your mind has the ability to remember. What's 2 plus 2? The only way you know that is because you remembered it. You was taught that, and you've got it etched out here in your brain so you can recall what you remember. But if you can't remember, you can't recall it. So your mind has the ability to remember. So you remember these things that you were taught and experiences in life that you went through. Think real quick of some bad experience. Boy, it's right there, isn't it? I mean, it's right there. You can recall that. And I've said to people before that, don't get me started. I'll tell you everything I know. Because once you get me started on something, I go back and I recall all that stuff. You regurgitate it, if you will. And you remember your past pain, your hurt, but how many of you remember some good things in life, right? Some victories and some things you defeated, you was victorious over. Sure. So that's the one thing is your memory. The other thing that your mind can do is imagination. That's the two things. You have a memory and you have an imagination. That's it. Think about it. You're either recalling something or you're imagining something. That's the only two things you can do with your mind. And you can't do them at the same time. So both of these functions, though, can enhance our lives, or they can be detrimental to how we carry ourselves in life. Memory is to replay, and imagination is to preplay. When you remember something, you're replaying it over in your mind. But to imagine something is to preplay it before it actually occurs. Now watch. This is how it can help you and it can hurt you. David was a shepherd boy, right? In his time of being a shepherd, he killed two things. Remember what they were? So you remember, huh? You're recalling it was a bear and a lion. Now he had never killed a giant, okay? But when he hears this uncircumcised Philistine breathing out these threats, then he called to remembrance. He called to remembrance the victories of the bear and the lion. And then he had an imagination. You are just the same. You will be as they are. You see how you can tap into the past, the good. See, now I'm going to talk about the bad too. You tap into that good part of the past. And you remember that past. Say, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. But it's going to be greater. I built up to this. The bear and the lion was just training me for this. And so we can use these things to enhance our imagination. What happened if he had never killed a bear and a lion? It's kind of hard to see a dead giant with no dead lion. Lion and a bear. A lion and a bear. But if you killed a lion and a bear, I think Goliath would have run from the lion and the bear. And he said, I can kill him if I could kill them. And once you believe, now listen close, I'm going to teach you something. Once you believe in what you have imagined, then it really becomes a memory. Call those things or not as though they were already happened. So in his mind, he's dead. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. I'll feed you to the vultures. So when you really, really believe in it, you're just replaying it now, what you've already believed in. And so from here on out, you just keep believing what you've already believed. You don't have to keep mustering up faith to believe. I either believe it or I don't believe it. So when you can sustain, listen close, when you can sustain what you imagine, then the method of obtaining it becomes apparent. When you can sustain it, I see myself doing this. But if tomorrow you can't see yourself doing that, the answer is not coming. I'm working on a little project right now. My wife always asks me, does your mind ever rest? And I said the other Sunday, I said, people say that I think outside the box. I tell them I didn't know there was a box. Somebody told you there's a box and you're supposed to think inside that box? That's the problem. You thought there was a box. And so when I'm dead, I'm going to speak outside the box too. You're going to know I've been here. Hallelujah. But if you can sustain what you imagine, sustain it, then eventually the answer of how to obtain it will come to you. I'm working on something right now. I had to start over in my mind. I don't know how many times I had to keep recreating in my mind because I couldn't sustain it. But once I sustained it in my mind, then it began to click how to do it. Living for God is very much the same. If you can sustain in your mind where you want to be in God, where you want to be in life, and sustain it, then the answer will come apparent how to get there. But if you kind of keep recreating, oh yeah, I believe it now. This time I believe it. I'm going to believe it now. Then you have to keep recreating and you never obtain it. And you'll never reach a higher level until you sustain one level. Every decision you make is either faith or doubt. Doubt is usually based on negative experiences, but faith is usually based on positive experiences. So every decision you make is usually based on your faith and your ability to do it or not to do it. Yeah, I can do that. Let me have the job. Let me do this. Self-confidence is that inner persuasion that you have of faith or doubt. Self-esteem is how you value yourself. Think about how you value yourself. Pride is how you want other people to value you. It's how you try to impress people so they think higher of you than you think of yourself. And maybe you do think higher of yourself, but you're trying to get them to think more highly of you than you really are. Now, listen close. I got so many good things came just to me, boom, just like that. Wisdom is the ability to discern differences between things. The differences of things. Which one should I choose? And you have the wisdom to choose the right one or the wrong one. Should this be someone I hang out with? Should it not be? So should I take this job or not take this job? Should I marry this person or should I not marry this person? That's wisdom. Wisdom helps you make better choices in life. Okay. Honor is how you celebrate the differences of others. Okay, they honored my grandfather. Why? Because he started so many churches. Way more than I started. I'm doing good to keep one. He went from place to place. So they give honor for the differences. You don't honor something that's not different, right? There's no honor bestowed on things that are, you've got to be above. But self-confidence is the ability to celebrate your own differences. Self-confidence is the ability to be happy with your differences. They may not ever be honored by anybody else. You may not ever be the wisest person in the world. But in yourself, you've got to have a value of yourself that you can excel. You can. May not ever get as high as somebody else. That doesn't matter. Where am I and what do I think about myself? The differences between me and other people. And I will tell you, no two people in here are alike. No two people are here alike. You know what? I have to treat all of you different. Because you're all different. I raised two kids. You got to treat them different. They act different. Self-confidence is the ability to separate, celebrate your own differences and uniquenesses. And the lack of this inner self-confidence causes you to seek other signs to convince other people that you're confident. Let me say that again. The lack of self-confidence makes you change who you are, the way you dress, the way you act, the way you look, because you're trying to persuade somebody else to believe I'm confident. When in fact, you're really sending out a signal you're not confident. Because if you dress real flashy and you drive real fancy and you do all these things, you're wanting people to say, I'm confident. You know, you pull out, let me pay for it. You got a big old roll of, you know, it's 100 on the outside, but it's all ones on the inside. Take that 100, keep the change. You're wanting people to think, and you bring your own condemnation. Oh, I've got to hurry. So much good stuff here. Self-confidence, or the lack thereof, will determine how you carry yourself. Self-confidence is a very powerful force, and the only way to exit from where you're at to a higher level is to improve your self-confidence. Do you understand that? You'll never go higher until your confidence goes higher. Let me try that. Let me give that a shot. But if you're not going to be confident enough to at least try it, you'll never go to the next level. Self-confidence in a Christian's life is not a gift from God. When you look at all the gifts of the Spirit, self-confidence is not one of them. But rather, it is faith in yourself based on God, so that you can say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can do exceedingly, or he can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works in me. My confidence isn't in me, meaning myself, but it is in me. You see? Self-confidence is made up really. Now listen close. Self-confidence is not really what other people tell you. So, he destroyed my confidence. If she wouldn't have said that right, but I just did that, I just lost it right there, honey. Let me tell you what self-confidence is, what you talk to yourself about. It's what you tell yourself. It's not what they said. It's what you tell yourself about yourself. That's what hurts your self-confidence. Because you ought to know in your heart, I don't care you said that, I can still do it. That you just don't know me. Self-confidence is like the woman that had tried everything. And rather than replaying, well, I went to the doctor, that didn't work. I went to this, that didn't work. I lost all my money there, and I only grew worse. She said, I'm going to imagine. I'm going to imagine that if I can, but she, the Bible says she said within herself, built that self-confidence up. That if I can, not to get something, I can but touch his garment, I will be made whole. And she was. Why? She was able to sustain that through the press. Excuse me, sir. I got to get to Jesus, you know. Weakened and broke as she was, it didn't matter. Her confidence was restored. And she said it within herself. I didn't have to tell you. David, his own 600 men that he put together, was about to stone him. Because they lost their wives and all, Ziglag, you know, the store and the kids, and it all went up in smoke. And so he sat down, and who encouraged him? Himself. That's what the Bible said. He encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, your self-confidence is based upon what you tell yourself. It's not based on what other people say. You can blame it on that, but it's what you tell yourself. Self-confidence is really a powerful force that influences others' decision. And if you continue to play on your capabilities, for example, let's just say, Sister Tevye works for me. And so let's just say She's not in here, so I can say it. And if she comes back and tells me I'm going to know you somebody, I'm going to get my phone out and take a picture of all y'all. But let's just say, she says, I'm a terrible driver. I just can't stay awake on the road. I just swerve off. I almost rear-ended somebody the other day. Well, I got a company van. Now, do you think I want you to deliver anything I got? You see, that bled over to me. Her inability to have self-confidence in herself and bleeding over to me what she's not confident in. Now, I don't want to, she ain't going to be the driver of that. You understand what I'm trying to say? You cannot let your insecurities, while they may be there, you cannot let them bleed over to other people, because that only confirms. Who told you was naked? The serpent told us. It confirmed it. And anytime you confirm something, you think that's it. It's like the doctor runs one test. Well, I don't know if this tumor is malignant or not. And they get one test, but they get a second test. They confirm it. Whatever is confirmed in your mind, what you're going to believe. So self-confidence can break down an enemy. Have you ever seen two boxers? They're looking each other eyeball to eyeball, tearing each other down. They're trying one to intimidate the other. They're trying to see how confident you are in your ability to put my lights out. Had a man come to my office one time. You ever been stared down by anybody? Anybody? Man came to my office one time. Hate to say this, brother in the Lord. And I'm telling you, every time I looked up, he wasn't happy about something. And the problem was he read it wrong. But he come in, and he was upset. He's looking at me like this. Whole time. After a while, I set my pencil down. I said, you can quit staring at me if you want to. I said, you don't intimidate me any. I said, it's your problem and not mine. You know, brother, that was... Well, he said, I've been told before that I could stare a mule down. I said, well, you ain't staring this mule down. People stare at you. You know, you're in a restaurant, they're staring at you, go, did I take the tags off of this or not? My wig come off or... You start, it's intimidating. It destroys that self-confidence. And the enemies do that. Two dogs look at each other. And one of them's a little chihuahua and the other's a pit bull. But he had never looked in the mirror. But they're trying to intimidate each other. Self-confidence can, if you don't have it, you can't show you don't have it. Your confidence is in the Lord, then you can quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I need some help around here. Self-confidence destroys, if you have self-confidence, it can destroy doubt, and it helps build your faith. Self-confidence is the ability to believe that you can do it. Did you understand that? Self-confidence is the ability to believe you can do it. Oh, yes. Everybody here tonight is known by how you carry yourself. If I had to ask one word for any of you, you would give me a one-word description, and I'm telling you, it would be about how they carry themselves. He's always angry. He's never happy. You can't say one thing that person don't come back with something else. It's how you carry yourself is how you're known. Now, I want to turn to some scriptures here before it gets too late. Numbers 13 and 17, and read this to you. And Moses sent, this is Numbers 13, 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, go check that out, whether they be strong, whether they be weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, or what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage. He's telling them before they go, no matter what you see, We don't even have a clue. As Joshua said later, he said, we've never been this way before. I don't have a clue what's going to happen. But if my courage and my confidence, see, courage, every time these old patriarchs would die, David called his son in, he said, be of good courage. Courage. You've got to have courage to go forward. Be of good courage. And he said, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe figs or grapes. The Lord knew right when to bring them into the land. It wasn't at the end of the harvest or the time when all the sowing is done or the cultivation. The Lord will bring you at the right time into the harvest, into the promises. And he was telling them, go over there and see what it is. Now listen, when you get over there, bring back some proof of the promise. Go, when you go over there, bring back something to get the people excited about. When we had our meeting about potentially moving the church, the reason I wanted everybody that wanted to come was because I wanted you to get involved with it. We may never move. We may sit right here and that'd be fine. But if we do, I don't want you to feel, well, I don't have nothing to do. I'm just going with it. We're just sojourning now, you know. But I want you to feel like you're part of it because you are. And I thank God for those that did come. Bring back the proof of the promise as a witness of where we're going to live and how we're going to live and what we're going to be partakers of in the future. And they came into the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bear it between two upon a staff. Now, I ate some grapes last night. I love grapes. But mine wasn't about that big around. And it was a lot of clusters in that little box. This cluster was so big, one cluster, that they took a pole to put that thing on. Can you imagine that? You talk about a proof of the promise to people that's been walking around in the wilderness, wondering where water's going to come from, eating manna. Can you imagine? I know they probably got tired of that manna. How many of you like it? I love gumbo. You want to eat it every day? And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. I knew them figs was in there somewhere. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word. They bring two things back. Brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and shewed them the fruit of the land. They brought back a word and proof. Which one ought to win out? And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Can you imagine? Oh, you imagine a congregation is like getting excited. Do you see those grapes? I hadn't seen grapes since we left Egypt, and we didn't even get to eat them. They were eating them. They were, I'm sure, so excited. Nevertheless, even though it's land that flows with milk and honey, and this is proof of the promise, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities they're walled, and not just, they're very great walls. And moreover, we saw, believe it or not, the children of Anak. We saw them old nasty giants over there. Lord, Lord, we don't have no more Davids yet around here to kill those giants. You know you're getting close to the promise when them giants show up. I can tell you that. And Caleb realized the people's confidence was dwindling quickly. The grapes brought them up, but the strength of the people brought them down. And he stilled the people. Calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. I can just hear him. Oh, slow. Let me have a word. Stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look at the confidence this man has in God and in his own self to do this thing. And I'm telling you, think about it too long. I've got a saying, I say sometimes, think long, think wrong. You can think it, but don't overthink it. And you'll talk yourself right out of it. Same thing happens in church all the time. You could say, if I said the first one down here is going to get a miracle, I'm telling you, y'all would look at each other and say, well, who's going to get up? And you're the one that needs the miracle. We'd look at each other. I'm not going to say that, but if I did, I know what would happen. But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They lack the confidence in themselves and the God that brought them across the Red Sea, that sustained them for all this time in the wilderness. And they're going to be turned back into the wilderness. And it's interesting to note that the Bible says that their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years, that their clothing didn't wear out for 40 years, but their bodies did. All except the two that had confidence, Caleb and Joshua. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." How did they know that? "And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature." You see, their imagination is in the wrong place. Their imagination is that they're going to eat us up. "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight," there you go, "as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight." How you carry yourself is how you are. And it's how other people perceive you. They carried themselves like they were grasshoppers because they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Quickly. Our text tonight says that even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. And truly, what Solomon is telling us, even as small as a child is, you will brand that child by how they act. That's a crybaby there. That's a mama's boy there. By how they act. How much more so is it for us as Christians? People know you by the fruit you bear. So if you're always oppressed, you're always depressed, you're always angry, you're always full of hate, you're always critical, that's why they see you. That's how they see you. So Jesus said this. He said, knowing that even a child is known by his doings, he said, he's talking about men in sheep, wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, "You shall know them by their fruit." Do men gather figs of thistles? No. Or grapes of thistles? Or you get roses out of a thorn bush, right? Where there's thorns. The way they carried themselves was like they were sheep. But inwardly, they were raving wolves. Sooner or later, everybody will manifest who they really are. Sooner or later, you'll find out the true person behind the mask. I'm going to close with this. To learn how to properly carry yourself, you must reposition how you think. Four things, real quick. You must first recognize your strengths and your weaknesses. Admit where you're weak and admit where you're strong. Recognize your strengths and your weaknesses. Then after you do that, refocus your attention on your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. Whatever you're strong at, focus on that. It's like if you're good at arithmetic, go for something in school that's got math attached to it. But if you're terrible in reading like me, don't be a history teacher or an English teacher. Then replay your past accomplishments. Replay in your mind the bear and the lion. The bear and the lion. The lion and the bear, and the bear, and the lion, and the bear, and the lion. And you just keep replaying what you have done. Don't replay. No, don't keep replaying where you messed up and you messed up and you messed up. Keep replaying to build your confidence in yourself. The Lord, he said, the Lord delivered the bear and the lion into my hands. He said, I didn't do it on my own. My accomplishments were from God. And God wants us to be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. I want to show the world I've got a testimony of what God can do. So keep replaying in your mind the things you have accomplished. And then once you do that, reprioritize your life. Life is about priorities. You are here tonight because you saw this as the top priority on your list. I don't think you're here because you felt obligated. I don't care what's going on. I go to church on Tuesday night. That's my top priority. And when you rearrange your priorities to realize that you can reach that goal because you have confidence that you can reach it. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I may not have the strength to do it, but he'll help me to do it. And once you get that in your mind and you can fixate it, then you will find a way to do it. I've heard people say, I didn't have money to go to college. I know people didn't have money and they went to college and made doctors. Didn't have a dime. I could tell you I didn't know how to read. I still don't. Did that stop me? I could have focused on my weakness. Well, I'm dyslexic or less dystic, whatever it is. They put me in remedial reading classes and all I enjoyed was the trampoline that lady had. I didn't mind going just so I could jump on the trampoline. And it didn't do a bit of good. I could have rolled over and played dead and said, I can't do this because I've got this weakness. You know, my mama dropped me when I was 3 years old and I see crooked now. I see backwards. But rather than that, I focus on my strengths. Because I know in my heart that once I got it, brother, I got it. I may have to read it 3 times, 4 times, stay up 2 hours more than you to study, but I can tell you this, I'll show up at the test and I'm going to pass. I got enough confidence to know that I got enough strength in that area. I'm weak in that area, but I'm strong in this area. I'll just hang on to my strengths and overcome my weaknesses. And that's what I've done all my life. And you can too. My second close, I close with this. As they come tonight, let's sing a little song before we go. Genesis 11 and 3. I want to show you how powerful what I'm telling you is to imagine something that you want to be in Christ, even in this life. And fixate that in your mind. And I promise you, you will find a way. God will help you find a way to get there. I said Sunday when I was preaching to them that we always pray for the final product. Make me a this. Give me a house. Give me a, and he answers in raw materials. He answers, you want to be the mighty oak, and he gives you an acorn. You have to water it. You have to stake it. You have to protect it till it becomes that. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into that. Boy, they got a vision, don't they? They got an imagination, don't they? And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. It was built. And the Lord said, oh, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be... Their confidence is so high. I mean, I remember going to grammar school, second grade, sitting in the class, watching a black and white TV that was flipping, 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 trying to see if they landed on the moon. You remember that? Oh, they got it. They're on the moon. They're on the moon. And now they go to the moon, won't even know it. Who Who would have ever thought you'd take your phone out, click, and send a picture to somebody? But the confidence was built a long time ago. If we can land on the moon, we can probably do this, you see. If we can have a landline, why can't we have a cell phone? If we have a cell phone, why can't we send pictures to each other? And so they imagined what they would do based upon what they had already done. The accomplishments that they had already done built the future. Not the failures, what they had already accomplished. And so he said, I'm going to go down. I better stop them because you know what? If I don't, everything they imagine to do, they're going to do it. Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it is Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad from the face of the whole earth. And so it is that if you ever get confounded, you'll leave off to build. If you ever get frustrated, brother, you'll throw it down. I close with this. I've told y'all this before. It's so funny. I laugh every time I think about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something I'm going to invent, but don't y'all invent it. Ahead of me. Take me. I'm going to invent a grease gun that's disposable. You know the kind you pump like that? Because I'm sick of getting grease on me. Brother Willie, I don't know how to load those things. And when I do know how to load it, and I even put on gloves, it tears and I get so aggravated, that thing. So I'm going to invent me one. You just throw it away and get you another one. And so one day, I was going to, it's always out of grease when I need it. I don't understand that. I went and went, you know how it does when it's out of grease. I got another one of these things. I'll just pop that in real quick. I pull that thing back. Got it unscrewed. And I push that thing in there. And I got that thing on there. You know, screw that. You know how it is. And it's slipping because my hands are greasy, you know. And my clothes are just like. I pulled it out. And I just took that thing out. I just go buy me a new one that's loaded. Disposable on sale. All the people like me, I just threw that thing down there and I went and got me another one. And Jerry comes out about that time, you know how your wife come out right about when you're frustrated. She said, what's wrong? I said, I don't want to talk about it. I'm just frustrated with this thing. She said, well, what's wrong? I said, every time I pull that thing back, I can't get it on. She said, well, all you got to do is there's a little notch right there. And when you get it back, just put it in that little notch. But you see, I got so frustrated, Brother Willie. I didn't care if that thing bearings can burn up. I'll change the bearings. Confounded. And I felt like a fool after she told me, trust me. But at least I'm honest to share that with you. Because when you get frustrated with something, Brother Johnson, you ever told something down you got frustrated with? Oh, Sister Johnson. You gave it away right there. You know, Brother Johnson, that's that guy that gets frustrated all the time. You know him. It's the way he carries himself. You know? But you get frustrated, you're going to quit. And you cannot afford to get to the point of frustration. Back up before you get frustrated. Rethink the thing over. And say there's got to be a better way. Hallelujah. Don't give up, anybody. Don't give up. Get rid of all those past experiences in your mind. Rehearsing it. Rehearsing it will not reverse it. It will not. But what you can do is build upon the strengths you already have and imagine, fixate in your mind where you want to be, say this time next year, a month from now. You remember I preached a sermon to y'all about dominant goals? Take one dominant goal today and say, this is my dominant. I still do that. Take one dominant goal. If I accomplish this, then my day has been good. Would you stand tonight? Thank you for bearing with me.